I hope you understand, it's a huge and important part of our doctrine and what we believe of the Bible. The Bible says Jesus is God.
In considering essential doctrines, Pastor Brett Metter emphasizes that who Jesus claimed to be matters.
God became a man, lived among us, died on the cross for the sins of the world, proved that he was who he claimed to be when he rose from the grave. Glorious good news of the gospel of Jesus, who's God in the flesh. You and I are saved by the grace of God because of the cross of Christ.
While Matthew's gospel reveals the genealogy of how Jesus came from Abraham through David, as promised in the Old Testament, John, in his gospel, declares Jesus came from heaven, demonstrating that Jesus is God, existing even before creation. On today's Word with Pastor Brett Metter, he'll continue an intriguing message of the meaning of God becoming man.
John the Apostle starts his gospel message with a huge beginning. It's a totally different beginning than all the other gospels. And you're gonna sense that as we get into it. But one of the main things John is gonna do for you and me is identify who is Jesus. And he starts with a bang. Let's go, chapter one. There it says, verse one, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's kind of think through this and break it down. So what other scripture do you think of when we start a book with, in the beginning, what other book do you think of? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I believe John's very intentional on this. He's saying, in the beginning, echoing back to Genesis 1:1, in the beginning was the Logos, the Word. And what is the Logos? The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So this is where we start to realize Jesus pre-exists before creation of all things. And I want to show you, he pre-existed as Jesus, the Messiah. In fact, he pre-existed as a lamb that would be slain before even the foundations of the world even happened. This is God, the Father, and God, the Son. But it makes your brain sort of hurt when you try to think, yeah, but is it one God? Let's talk about that. Not only did God exist before time began, but the Word, the Logos, pre-existed. And we understand that the Word was God and it was Jesus. We're gonna see that as we keep going. But when it says was here, in the beginning was, for you linguistic scholars, imperfect, indicative, active. It's a continued action is the idea here. In the beginning was, continued action, the Word, the Logos. So the idea is two things pre-existed before creation, God the Father and the Logos, which we're gonna see is Jesus. So in the beginning was the Word, and then the second phrase, the Word was with God. So the second statement here, the Word was with God, makes it abundantly clear to me and to you that he, the Logos, seems to be separate from God the Father because he was with God. Well, I can't figure that out. Well, I've always loved the saying, you know, if God were small enough to figure out, he wouldn't be big enough to worship. True enough, the main objective for the Gospel of John is to convince us, I believe, that Jesus is God. We're gonna see that through the whole book. A few sneak peek of coming attractions. John chapter 10, verse 30 and 32. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? Does anybody remember the answer they gave? They said, for good works we stone thee not. But it's because what? You make yourself equal to God. And equal means equal, not similar to. The Jews knew exactly what Jesus was claiming when he said, I and my Father are one. In fact, if you go further into John 14, it says Philip, the disciple, He said unto him, Lord, show us the Father and it'll suffice us. In other words, man, you've done all these great miracles and stuff, but we'll really, really believe if you just show us God the Father. Now listen to Jesus's answer. This is mind blowing. Jesus said unto Philip, have I been so long time with you and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Now, before we go on, I just want to remind you, some might be sitting there critical. Jesus could have said anything. Who cares what Jesus claimed? Well, it's kind of important. That's what Resurrection Sunday is all about. Because Jesus made the claim, I am in the Father's in me, I and my Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Well, they said, prove it. And he said, okay, there's one thing I'll do that nobody else in the world has ever done that I will do to prove that. Destroy this body, and in 3 days I'll raise from the dead, and that'll be the sign that shows that all these claims I'm making about being God the Father in the flesh as the Son, that's gonna be proven. So Philip gets this answer. It's kind of like, come on, Philip, have I been around with you long enough? Don't you see it? So anyone that denies that Jesus is God does not believe in the true Jesus Christ. They're outside of what we would call essential doctrines of the Christian faith. It's not that we're just trying to be, you know, mean. It's just who Jesus claimed to be matters. Very important. So there's only one God, but God in three persons. And it's this mystery called the Trinity. In fact, Paul calls it that. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, some of you might say, Brett, the word Trinity is not even in the Bible. Correct, but the word missionary is also not in the Bible. Like there's a bunch of words that aren't in the Bible, but we know it's still something that's true. The idea of the Trinity is God in three persons. We see that even in this verse. It's funny the way Paul says that. Without controversy, in other words, there's no debate about this, great is the mystery of godliness. It's, the word mystery, by the way, in the Greek here is mysterion, which is, means something that's veiled and covered, but it's about to be unveiled. There's an expectation, like at an art show, and there's a piece of art covered with a silk cloth. And they say, the artwork behind there is a mysterion. It's covered and veiled, but it's about to be unveiled. That's what Paul's saying. With no controversy, great is the mystery, mysterion of godliness. And then he unveils it right here. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. The Trinity is right there. God, that's God the Father. And what part of God then was manifest in the flesh? That's Jesus. Justified in the Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. That's why there's a capital S there. And then of all that, God manifest in the flesh was seen of angels, preached to the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. So you might say, Brett, the math doesn't add up. 1 + 1 + 1 doesn't equal one. True. But 1 × 1 × 1 = 1. Three persons in one being. How do you know this is the one? Well, it's so amazing because John reaches into stuff that's just like the idea of Jesus being at creation. Remember when I read to you Colossians? God created all these things. By him, all these things consist. But if you see the rest of the context of that, of creation, you realize it's Jesus. I'm gonna give you a deeper version of this, more verses. In verse 13 of Colossians 1, it's talking about God, God the Father, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That's Jesus. Verse 14, in whom? That's Jesus. We have redemption through his blood. Again, that's Jesus. Even the forgiveness of sins, who, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, firstborn of every creature. And then it says, for by him, Jesus, were all things created that were in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things and by all him things consist. Now notice all the things about Jesus here. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. It says here, Jesus, by him, all things were created. By Jesus, all things were created by him. And he is before all things. And by him, all things consist. The Bible takes pain to say, yeah, it's God in Jesus, the Son, in whom we have redemption that was there at creation doing all these things. This is where the Bible puts it all one and the same. God the Father, God the Son is the same, one and the same. Now you say, okay, Brett got it. But here's the thing. Did you know, by the way, Jesus was there at the beginning, but he was also there at the ending. You know, even with the redeeming work of the cross, even that was there at creation. You know, in the book of Revelation, where it says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That means that even when Jesus was there at creation, he was already the Lamb that would be slain. Again, that's outside of time and space. Jesus had already been slain before the foundations of the world. God had a plan, he created all things, and his plan is perfectly unfolded in our time and space. So you go back to the first chapter of John, and there's a couple other really beautiful things we can't miss. Notice verse 4, in him, Jesus, the Logos, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. See, some of you are like, Brett Gray, and all this academic existence and time and space and all that stuff, whatever, I just believe it. And that's cool. If you're that way, that's great. If you're just still, I believe that Jesus is God. But we can't leave this without seeing the beautiful benefit of God manifested, because in him was the light and life. Question, what's the opposite of light and life? Darkness and death. That sounds like the world to me. The world is in a horrible condition of darkness and death. There's so much sadness. If I didn't have the light of Christ and the life of Christ, I'd be really depressed right now. No wonder the world's so grouchy. No wonder people are not getting along. Without Christ, life is darkness and death. There's a lot of non-believing people that wonder why Christians are so joyful. In fact, we've had people who love to just hang out here at 8th and Greek. They've come up, I've had guys come, Pastor Brett, I'm not a Christian, but I just like hanging out with you guys. And I'm like, that's great. But I hope you understand why you like hanging out with us. It's not because we're awesome people. It's because we know the light and the life. And we want you to see that too and get your mind around that. What does that mean? See, the world is so dark and sad. Like, the world looks at things so differently. If you look in the mirror as a worldling, as a non-Christian, and you see a new wrinkle on your face, that's horrible. That's just a sign of your looming death. And it reminds you again, oh man, 10 out of every 10 people die. The statistics are shocking. And the world tries to cover all that stuff up. Oh, another wrinkle. So you go down to the Botox store or wherever you get that and you get a Botox and you just keep pumping stuff in. And pretty soon you're out and you can't close your mouth because you got two. And you're like, hey. Death. The world is trying to fight against death. Now, as a Christian who has the proper perspective of life and light, when you get a wrinkle, what you should think is, wow, I'm closer to heaven. I'm closer to when I get to be with Jesus Christ for all eternity. It's a glorious thing that we don't have to try to worry about our getting older and how short life is. As a Christian, one more wrinkle is one step closer to Jesus Christ. And that's why, you know, the psalmist talked about in Psalm 116:15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the saints. The second law of thermodynamics tells us things go from order to disorder. The way that second law of this is a law of science, of physics, but basically as one goes forward in time, the net entropy or degree of disorder of any isolated or closed system will always increase. In other words, disorder increases in time or it stays at least the same. There's nothing in the universe that's modeled where things go from total chaos to total order, except for if you're an evolutionist. If you believe in evolution, things have gone from total chaos, the Big Bang, destruction and chaos, and just kind of accidentally, by accidental circumstances, that's why it takes them billions and billions of years. You have to have billions of years. I'll tell you why they need billions of years, because things don't just accidentally happen like that. If you had a big airplane hangar at the PDX airport, a big one, and there was a pile of 747 parts piled up in that big hangar, pile of them, and then Godzilla came and grabbed the hangar and started shaking that hangar. Here's the question. How long would you have to shake the hangar for the parts just to kind of fall in the right place and the rivets and the bolts and the little TV screen stuck in the chair and the peanut that you get for all that stuff that's in the 747? How many years would you need to shake that for it to become a 747? It's impossible. There's nothing that goes from disorder to order except for the evolution that says, man, your polynucleotide strands of DNA just by accidental circumstances. Like, that's fantasy world. The second law of thermodynamics falls in line with what the Bible says. Everything's going from order to disorder. That's what the Bible teaches. But if you're a believer in Christ, you realize this life is just a training ground. Life is but a vapor, and we have the glory of heaven to look forward to with Jesus Christ. Why? Because God became a man, lived among us, and in him light and life are found. And Jesus, he even declared himself to be just that. John chapter 8, verse 12, then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, here's where it gets a little depressing in our text, back to John. But in John, did you see what happens in verse 5? And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That's tragic. There's darkness that has a hard time comprehending. The word comprehended is a word, the Greek word here, we don't have an English word that's, comprehended is getting close. But if you look this Greek word up for comprehended in John chapter 1, verse 5, the Greek word is katalambano, which means to eagerly take possession of or to lay hold of with the mind. It's like our phrase, more like saying, man, I'm really having a hard time getting my mind around that. That's the word katalambano. That's where that idea comes from. And guess what? The darkness, katalambanos, has a hard time getting its brain around the concept of the light, Jesus, and the life that he gives. Are you one who listens to what I'm saying about Jesus being God? You're like, yeah, I just don't know if I can get my head around that. Don't let this whole thing of just your difficulty getting to understand that keep you in darkness. For you that are Christians, you and I, Jesus, it's interesting, he told us to be in Matthew 5:14, you are the lights of the world. A city that can be set on a hill cannot be hid. In other words, you and I are supposed to be little lights shining to the big light. I liken it to when I was growing up in my house, we had those little switches. You know those switches that have the little light in the switch? You're not the light of the world. You're just the light of the switch. But if you turn on the switch, it shows the light of the world. That's kind of what we as Christians are supposed to be. You're just a little light, hopefully shining in the dark so that others can come and see, as they see it in you, the light of Christ. Maybe they'll start to see that Jesus is, in fact, the light of the world. The Gospel of Luke, it says, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. When you preach the good news of Christ, you start showing the world that we have the word of God that's the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path. That's the scriptures. When we saw this whole thing, in the beginning was the word, and it made us leap backward to the book of Genesis. I wanna say, as we wrap it up, it also makes us leap forward to the end. This John, mind-bending beginning of this chapter goes from not only Genesis, but it all goes all the way to the book of Revelation. It's kind of an interesting thing. In fact, we're running out of time, so I'm gonna go through this a little faster. Would you grab your Bible and turn to Revelation 19? This is the second coming of Christ. Revelation 19, verse 11. It says, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God, the Logos. When Christ comes, the second coming, he's coming as the John 1:1, the Logos. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is the same thing. We see the end of the world when the second coming of Christ happens, the Logos is coming down. And verse 14, who's coming with him? Us. The armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. This is you and me. We get raptured before the tribulation period, and then we're at the marriage feast of the Lamb with the Lord. But when he returns, we get to come with him, the Bible says. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword. What sword would that be? The Word of God, which is living and powerful, sharper than any. There's quite the image here of the second coming of Christ, and John saying, the Word of God, the Logos, that's who's coming back. Now, by the way, while we're here in Revelation, look at chapter 21. Another thing that declares Jesus being God. In Revelation 21, verse 5 and 6, it says, and he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. He said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I give unto him that is a thirst of the fountain of water of life freely. By the way, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, that's the A and the Z. There's only one of those. That's the point. It's like when Isaiah says, I am the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. There is no other God other than me. That's what Isaiah said. But in Revelation 22, notice this. It says in verse 12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be. Now, I like to pause right there and say, now, who's this talking? The one who's, behold, I come quickly. That's Jesus. But notice what Jesus says in verse 13. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments and that they might have right to the tree of life. Verse 15, for without are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, whoever loveth and maketh a lie. You have to understand the whole point of the whole Alpha and Omega thing is there's only one of those. Is the Alpha and Omega God or is the Alpha and Omega Jesus? And the answer is yes. Because Jesus is God. So all that to say, man, as we kind of wrap this up, remember what Thomas said when Jesus appeared to him and Thomas said, oh, my Lord and my God. Was Thomas wrong to call Jesus my God? No, Elohim here, by the way. That's because Thomas knew at that point, Jesus is God. I hope you understand, it's a huge and important part of our doctrine and what we believe of the Bible. The Bible says Jesus is God. Anybody who says that that's not true, they are way off the rails. Be careful. Watch out for that. But because Jesus is God, you and I are saved by the grace of God because of the cross of Christ. God became a man, lived among us, died on the cross for the sins of the world, and proved that he was who he claimed to be when he rose from the grave. Glorious good news of the gospel of Jesus, who's God in the flesh.
Pastor Brett Metter with great insight for the reinforcement throughout the scriptures for the deity of Christ the Lord on today's Word. And I trust you'll stay with us as Pastor Brett will join me in just a moment. But first, let me introduce you to Brett Metter. He's the senior pastor of Athey Creek Church, just south of Portland in Westland, Oregon. Brett has been the senior pastor of Athey Creek Church for almost 30 years, where the church has grown from a small group of believers to one of the largest churches in the Pacific Northwest. We'd like to invite you to listen each day at this same time for more of today's Word. If you've missed any portion of our study, you can find all of Pastor Brett's messages, including this one, online at todayswordradio.com. You can also watch full video messages from Pastor Brett by going to todayswordradio.com. Well, I do have Pastor Brett with me now. Brett, your story of how you got started teaching God's Word goes back a long way, doesn't it?
Yeah, I started teaching Sunday school when I was 12 years old.
Wow.
I was a big kid. They thought I was older, and so they let me teach a class of 30 first graders. And I did that for a year, and then they bumped me up to the sixth graders. So I was only a year older than the sixth grade class. And I just kept teaching. Then they made me the children's pastor at my church growing up at 17. And our church grew to a big church. And then just kept teaching the Word to youth and college age at our church. And then when the Lord stirred our hearts to start a church in the Portland area, that was really as a senior pastor teaching verse by verse through the Bible. And it's been just something I've always wanted to do from the earliest years I can remember.
That is a great story, Brett. And I know one of the Bible teachers of the past who you admire is J. Vernon McGee.
Yeah.
So when people tune in to today's Word each day, what should they expect from your teachings?
Sure. You know, we go verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book. We don't skip any word of the Bible. And, you know, my first time through, we did more of a little bit of a survey, like J. Vernon McGee, where it wasn't every single word of the book of Numbers. We'd kind of pass through a chapter and say. But the last time through, we did not skip a word. Yeah. And the congregation was thankful for that. You know, just giving credit to every single word, as we believe the Word of God is inspired.
Right.
I'm not saying everybody has to do that, but for us, it's really been a blessing to cover every single word. So if you go to Athey Creek or listen to today's Word, you're going to get every single word of the Bible. We don't skip a chapter, a verse, or word of the Bible.
That's great to know. Thank you, Brett. And again, we want to remind our listeners that we'll be here each day to go through God's Word. For more information about Pastor Brett and Athey Creek Church, just go to todayswordradio.com. On our website, you can also find a place to make a comment or share a prayer request. Again, go to todayswordradio.com. Well, I hope you can join us again as we look at the different titles given to Jesus in the Gospel of John. Today's Word with Pastor Brett Metter is an outreach of Athey Creek Church in West Lynn, Oregon.